Hello and welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Niamh Hayes. This is a podcast all about health and wellness, where I'll be sharing information and tips and hearing from people who have their own health and wellness story to tell. In today's episode, I am chatting to holistic therapist Jade Spencer. We chat all about energy, all about healing, how we can start looking after our own health and well-being by looking after these things. Please be advised that we do mention both suicide and miscarriage in this podcast, so listener discretion is advised. Jade, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
That's good. Have you ever done anything like this before?
No, never. And it's funny, you asked me to do one and someone else asked me to do one all in the same week. So it was like, everything comes together.
It does. This might be the start of a new journey for you.
That's it.
Okay, so when we think of kind of health and well-being, you know, people often think about physical activity and movement, nutrition, sleep, all those things. But I suppose there's much more to it than that. And that's where your work comes in, really. So will you start by telling me kind of what your work looks like now at the moment?
Yep. So I'm a holistic therapist, which holistic is where you treat the whole person rather than just kind of treating the symptoms. You look at a person as a whole. So I do a lot of body treatments, like various massage treatments, reflexology, aromatherapy, lymphatic drainage, and then also energy treatments that help with the energy body. I do like Reiki, Rahani, integrated energy therapy, and I do like chakra dancing, which helps people, I think, understand their physical, mental, emotional and energetic body for themselves. And I am a big believer that, like, people don't come to me for healing. I am just like a facilitator of their own healing journey, kind of thing, you know. I don't think anyone should be put on a pedestal and being like, oh, I'm a healer or anything like that.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own healing journey, and it's just about facilitating them to heal themselves.
Brilliant. Okay. And how did you get into that? Like, was this kind of work always something you were interested in yourself growing up?
Not really. It's something that I've come about through my own healing journey. I would have kind of had a very turbulent childhood and stuff, and always in and out to see like counselors and psychotherapists and stuff growing up. Mm-hmm. I actually in 2009 I actually had a breakdown, a mental breakdown. I tried to commit suicide and ended up getting help and in Bantry Hospital for a week. And when I was in hospital, because I'd been on medication before and the medication hadn't suited me, it just for me, and again, this is my own healing journey, I'd never tell anyone to stop taking medication or anything like that, because everything works differently for different people.
Yeah.
Once I got into hospital, I just refused any medication because I felt like I wanted to get to the root cause of what was going on with me, you know. And I always felt like my medication route was kind of just masking the problem. It wasn't actually getting to the root of the problem. So I was in hospital for about a week and I was assessed by different psychotherapists and doctors and went through lots of kind of interviews with them. So they looked at me holistically. They had to really kind of figure out what was going on with me and what the best kind of treatment was for me. So I was recommended to do cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. I did that for about 6 months with an absolutely wonderful man over in Bantry Hospital, and also talk therapy. The two of them combined were just absolutely magic. Like, I had a really negative mind frame. Like, I suffered with anxiety and depression, which I still do today. I think it's something that I will always have to deal with. But it was the start of getting kind of a toolbox together for me to be able to deal with it. So when anything does arise, that I am able to kind of like self-soothe and get myself back into a better place again. So the cognitive behavioral therapy was very good. I had a very negative mind frame, and I could give myself a panic attack just from like these obsessive thoughts and stuff.
Wow.
And my mind kind of racing away with me, and cognitive behavioral therapy kind of helped me get control over that.
Okay.
And also I read the book The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle at the same time, and again it just kind of taught me that you are not your brain, you know, and you're able to kind of control what is going on with your brain. And that made me realize that there's more to us than just this physical body. And once you kind of step back out of the mind, that there's a whole different area kind of going, like a lot of other stuff going on. So that kind of, once I'd kind of gone through all that, I got talking to a few people, and I was recommended by a holistic therapist, Louise O'Regan. She had done a health and wellbeing course in the Cork College of Commerce. So I looked into that, and it just automatically like shouted to me. I was like, this is what I need to do. I got really excited about it, and it's kind of set me up. It's a really, really, really good course for anyone that is kind of looking to get into this kind of work, because you come out with an awful lot of qualifications from it, and it can lead you on so many different paths. So it was fantastic. It was a fantastic starting point. And I suppose through doing that kind of work, it was just at the start of my own healing journey, you know?
Yeah. Brilliant. That's such an amazing story to tell. And I think like when people go through something like that, even though it was probably the most difficult thing you've ever gone through, it kind of gives you a meaning and purpose in life, doesn't it? And like, obviously the work you're doing now and helping other people on their healing journeys, that's obviously such, you know, you're kind of taking the good or seeing the positive out of what you went through and now helping people on their own journeys.
Absolutely. And it's also being able to understand people at where they're at. When you've been through it yourself, you can see your pain in other people. And just like I said, everyone's different, but being able to recommend like, this is what worked for me, it might work for you, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's extremely powerful. Yeah, just learning about my own healing journey has definitely helped me in this area of work.
Incredible. Now, you spoke at the start about kind of energy work, and I know it's kind of a new offering that you're doing now. And I was lucky enough to get a treatment with you a few weeks ago, just about kind of energy healing and things. So can you explain to me, like, obviously the universe, everything in the universe is energy, but I suppose we don't really think about it. You know, we just think that we're here living on this earth and going about our day-to-day lives. But our energy is so, so important. So can you kind of tell us about that and how we can kind of tap into our energy to help us with our health and well-being and healing journeys?
Yeah, absolutely. So energy was a new thing for me. Again, it was when I was in the Cork College of Commerce, I got introduced to Reiki, and I'm a bit of a child, really. So when I heard about Reiki, I was like, oh my God, this sounds like magic. And so I got really excited about that. But again, the more I've gone into it, the more it just really makes sense. Like, and again, it's something that we don't kind of really talk about or know, but we can all feel it, you know. Like if you walk into a room where people are after having an argument or something, you can feel the tension in that room.
Yeah.
And we're electric magnetic beings, and we all have this like energy field around us that can affect each other, you know. If someone's in a good mood or has good energy, you know that being around them can raise you up. Or if someone is feeling, you know, not with a great energy, or feeling down or whatever, that person can bring you down if you don't protect your own energy. So it's very important for us to definitely to ground and to kind of connect with our energy in order to protect it, so that when we do go out into the world and we're meeting all the other electric magnetic beings around us, that we're not picking up bits of energy from those other people. Because, you know, sometimes you can feel a bit down, and you can pick up anger off people, you can pick these different things off people, and sometimes it's not your own energy. So it's important to kind of understand your energy body so that you're able to cleanse and get rid of anything that isn't yours, and then also to be able to work through stuff that is yours so that you can help kind of transform it into something more positive, you know. Yeah. And just to be able to increase your mood, I suppose it's been a big thing for me. When my energy is low, like when I am so like going through a period of depression, I know I can affect the people around me, and I completely and utterly shut myself off. I don't want to see anyone. I stay in the house and stuff. But then I have to work on raising my vibration again in order to make myself feel better, you know, with the energy. Like, energy is something that has been taught in Eastern medicine for thousands of years, and they've focused on the electromagnetic field of the human body. And the field has been called like many different things. Like, people have probably heard chi and prana, and then there's like the ki from Japan that kind of comes with the reiki. And this energy can like moves through our bodies through different like the meridian lines, and different things in our lives can affect us. So I always use my mom as an example of this, and I'm sure she doesn't mind, but and it's something that's happened to a lot of people, that as children we've been kind of told, you know, children should be seen and not heard, and kind of had that throat communication chakra kind of shut down. And over time, like the suppression of this voice and the fear of expressing this voice kind of blocks the energy flow to that area. And when the energy isn't flowing, the vital organs in that particular body part aren't getting the energy that they need to in order to survive, kind of thing. It's kind of like a plant with no sunlight, you know, or a plant without water. Yeah. The plant eventually starts to die. And with my mom, and I see it with a lot of people, a lot of clients that have come in have thyroid problems, and it's the thyroid is linked in with that throat chakra, that throat energy center. So the energy has been blocked there, and eventually over time it'll cause a physical problem within the body. And it's kind of like the body's alarm system of being like, hello, there's something going on here, like, you know. So yeah, that I always use my mom as an example of that, like just having that communication and that fear of expressing herself eventually has wound up, like, there's probably other things, you know, that have kind of linked in with that as well, but from an energetic point of view, it's definitely you know, the fear of using that voice has stopped the energy flow from moving in there and eventually caused a physical problem. Yeah. So becoming aware of our energy, we can help like heal ourselves physically, mentally and emotionally. So it's very important, but something unfortunately that we don't really talk about so much in the West, and but it's definitely becoming more popular, which is brilliant.
It is. I think it is. It is. But it's slow to get there. Like, that's, I suppose, everything that the work I'm doing and the things I'm studying at the moment, it's all about like how your physical body is always telling you it's working for you. And if there's something going on, a lot of the time we just don't have the self-awareness, or we just ignore what's going on. But like, it's all to do with our energy, it's to do with our thoughts and emotions, it's, you know, everything is manifesting in the physical body all the time. And that's, unfortunately, we ignore it a lot of the time, and it does end up with you know, we end up with different problems or illnesses or diseases. But people are kind of slow to make that connection with what's gone on in our lives, what we've gone through, and how it's held in our body.
Absolutely. Yeah. The physical body is like the alarm system. There's we're such complex beings, but again, we're not really taught this in the West, really. It is all about the physical body and how we keep our physical body, which is amazing. But to kind of embrace all aspects of ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, energetically, you know, if we could take each aspect and kind of address all of them together, we would be in a lot better shape, I think.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Now, you mentioned chakras a couple of times there. So I would know a little bit about it, but I wouldn't know half the things that you know. So for anyone listening who has never heard of them or has no idea what they are, can you go through them and kind of explain what it all means?
Yeah, absolutely. So the chakra is in Sanskrit means spinning wheel. So it's like an energy center where this kind of energy kind of comes in. And we have seven major ones in the body, starting kind of at the bottom of the spine. We have our root chakra, which is our connection with our to the earth. And so that would be our root energy center kind of thing, where anything kind of our legs, our physical body is getting energy from this chakra. It's linked with like safety and security, you know, that fight and flight, because it's linked with the adrenal glands. So if people are under any kind of stress, where the which we are in this day, like we're an adrenal burnout, you know, working with that root chakra can really help heal these kind of areas. So the root would be the base chakra. And then we have our sacral chakra, which is the second chakra. They're all kind of associated with different organs, different parts of the body, different emotions, different elements, different colors. So like I said, the root was connected with the earth, and it's the color red. The sacral chakra is the home of our feminine energy, and it's linked with the color orange and associated with the water element, and very much linked with our feelings and emotions. It's connected with our sexual organs. So again, when I'm doing any kind of healing, especially with women in Ireland, because sexuality has been completely kind of shut down in this country, people can't really express themselves sexually or find it hard to connect in with their sexuality. And for women, like, our sexual energy is a huge power, you know. If we can tap into that, not coming from a seedy place or anything, because again, that's kind of what we've been made believe.
Yeah.
But if we can connect into that, like, it's a massive energy for a woman. Like, I know when I'm connected with my sexual energy, I can get things done, and I can make people do things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But not in a weird way. But like, it's just when you're feeling that energy, things just seem to click into place for you. So I do like helping women kind of connect, and that's kind of through the chakra dancing that I would do that kind of connect people back into feeling themselves and feeling their sexual energy. So that would be the sacral chakra. The solar plexus then is the home of the masculine energy, and like I said, the sacral was the feminine energy. Every single being in this planet is made up of a masculine and feminine energy, and they both reside in our body, and they're both being able to be used by man or woman. It doesn't make a difference what gender you are. Like, the feminine energy would obviously be more slow moving, it's more nurturing, it's more caring, it's very receptive. And then the masculine energy is where our drive, our ambition, our power, it's our power center, our solar plexus, and it's associated with the color yellow and the fire element. So it's like that fire in the belly. Like, you would use it a lot with exercise, with the physical body. It would be very, very much charging up that solar plexus area. Then we move up into the heart chakra, and that's associated with our inner child. And again, in today's society, you know, it's kind of like, stop being childish, you know, you need to grow up. And it's really important for us to connect with that inner child and still allow that inner, even no matter how old you are. You know, my nan is 90 this year and she still acts like a child. And I think that's part of the secret of why she's lived so old, you know, because she's never grown up. And it's a great lesson that our family have learned from her. And the heart chakra is the green in color, associated with the air elements, and it's just about kind of like lightening up and having fun as that child. There's a lot of like grief. Like, I've seen a lot of people with grief, losing people, and then having to step straight back into life and not really allowing that grief to be released can really block that heart center, and it can dim a lot of like joy and happiness that we could be experiencing, because you know, we try to suppress it, and it's just like, if we can just push it down far enough, we can still kind of keep moving along, you know. So the I'd find a lot of issues with people's hearts as well, heart chakras.
And so, sorry Jade for interrupting, but rather than push it down, what should people actually do in that circumstance? Do they just have to go through it and feel it and feel that energy?
Yeah, and it's so painful. Like I had something happen there in the start of this year, and it was the first time that I'd recognized my own grief. I've obviously been through grief before in my life, and I've spent years now trying to kind of get that grief out. But this incident that happened in January, I recognized that grief, and I found myself wailing like at the top of my lungs. And like, you'd see that in, again, other traditions where women would be on the street, arms up into the air, and they're shouting and wailing and just really allowing that grief to kind of move through them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's different stages of grief, obviously. Like, you know, anger can come with it, and like, there's different, it's not as easy as saying cry it out kind of thing, but allowing it to move through you and giving yourself the space and the time to allow that move through you. You know, I do feel like people, all of us do, because we live in such a busy society, and you don't get a chance to kind of like sit with your grief. And you know, everything has to, bills have to be paid and kids have to be looked after or whatever, and I was just very lucky this year that I had Andy, my boyfriend, like being able to take care of me in the house and my son. So I was allowed to give me the space and the time to be able to allow that grief move through me, you know. And I kind of feel a little like I had a miscarriage in January, and I kind of feel guilty that it's not that I don't feel sad about it now, but I don't feel the heaviness that I felt back then. And I can speak to other people and years later that still have this massive hole in their heart for going through that miscarriage and stuff, and I kind of felt a little bit guilty that I didn't feel that as deeply. But I do recognize that you know, I was able to kind of move through that because I was given the space and the time, and I wasn't rushed into having to kind of get into real life before I was ready, you know.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Jade, and I think that's a really important note. It's not to say that you weren't sad or that you're not sad now or anything, and it's also not that you suppressed it. It's that you actually allowed the energy go through you in a way, and you processed it in a way. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, that would be right. Yeah, exactly right. You've put that a lot more simply than I did. But yeah, it was just that energy was able to be released instead of being held in.
Yeah.
And you know, and I did go through different stages of it, of being angry, and yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy time. But again, Andy was brilliant, and we had like a little fire ceremony down the beach, and I was able to bring like the remains down the beach, and we had a little cremation. We called in all our ancestors and our spirit guides and opened up sacred space, and just being able to have that ceremony even was really big for me. You know, it was a saying goodbye kind of thing, and recognizing that it happened, because again, sometimes it was very early, the miscarriage, so it wasn't you know, I wasn't that far gone or whatever, but and that doesn't matter. Like, you still feel the pain, because obviously your body and everything is feeling pregnant from the moment that you conceive. Yeah. But just being able to have that and to recognize that little soul did come in for us, and for us to be able to say goodbye was really huge, because afterwards I've spoken to other women about my own experience, and you know, they never got that chance. And that's another thing that adds to the grief, is that there was no kind of there was no kind of closure to it, you know.
Yeah, people are kind of expected to just get on with life no matter what it is they kind of go through. And it pains me that we're not taught these things, that we're not told that, you know, we kind of have to close the cycles on these things to be able to move on properly. It's heartbreaking that we're not taught these things in school, or we just don't know about these things.
Absolutely. Like, these are lessons, again, like you said, that we should be taught in schools and even within families, because we learn from our own families. And I've seen the people around me shut down their own, suppress their own emotions. And then, you know, it's like kind of pushing things under a carpet. Eventually they build up, and they're going to come out in some way, shape or form, whether it's physically, mentally or emotionally. And I suppose going through my healing journey and kind of cleaning from underneath the carpet, getting things out and stuff, definitely helped me with that process. Yeah.
And I assume it's kind of, it's an ongoing process, is it, like throughout life, because we're always going to be throwing things at us. So it's not just you heal and that's it, you move on. It's an ongoing thing that we always have to work on.
Yeah. And I find, like, we're like onions, like there's layers upon layers upon layers. Like, you know, I was like, oh, I'm healed, you know. And it's funny, I spent a long time like on my own and single, and I thought that I'd dealt with a lot of my childhood trauma, that, you know, I felt in a really good place. And it was only when I stepped into being in a relationship then that I realized that, like, there's a whole nother level to this. And things that I thought that I'd healed were coming back up again and resurfacing. And like, I would have a lot of like abandonment issues and stuff. And it's, yeah, being in a relationship is is definitely a very big test.
Oh, it is. It opens every layer of us.
You know, you can be fine, totally fine on your own, but then when you throw another person into the mix, you're like, oh, cheekers.
Yeah.
But we're like layers. And you think that you can heal something on one level and you'll go back and it'll show up at a different level. But I think life is you know, a constant healing journey. I will never, you know, till the day I take my last breath, I will be always healing different things that arise in my life. And I'm just happy now that I have the awareness and the tools that kind of help me kind of go through that, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's the heart chakra.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your story.
No, that's no problem. It's something that I have felt like, you know, again, from talking to other people, I think it's something that I have wanted to kind of talk about, because it's a conversation, again, that we don't have. Something that we almost feel ashamed about, you know. And when you do say, you know, oh, I had a miscarriage or whatever, like, people don't know how to respond to that either. And it happens. When I was in the hospital, the doctor was saying, like, it happens to 1 in 4 women. So this is a really common thing that women are going through. And we should be speaking about it more openly. You know, being able to help each other and being supportive of each other and kind of saying, you know, this is what worked for me, and just being there for each other. But it's, again, that kind of shame that comes with it is a big thing. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak about it, because I do think it's an important subject that, you know, like I said, that we should have conversations about.
Absolutely. And you'd be surprised at how many people this will actually help. Just this simple conversation will help, hopefully. Now, I'm really interested to hear about the next chakra, about the throat, because you mentioned earlier about kind of suppressing the voice as a child, and I think that really resonates with me anyway. So can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, so the throat chakra is linked with our communication. It's how we kind of express ourselves, how we talk to others, but also, and how we hear others, how, you know, listening to others, but also listening to ourselves and talking to ourselves. Communication with self is extremely important. And especially like the time that I had my breakdown, I didn't speak to myself very nicely, and that's kind of what would have caused my panic attacks, is that voice in my head being like, you're a mess, you're this, you're that, you're the other, you're no good, you know, and kind of really negatively speaking to myself. So it kind of was a lesson for me. And again, this is a life lesson. It's not something that I've learned and it's just clicked into place. I can still go into them places, and where I am kind of negatively self-talking to myself. But it's a huge thing. And we all have that voice in our head. And it's important that we kind of become aware of it, so that we can change it, you know. I find using affirmations for me was a big thing, and at first you're not going to believe them, you know. At first you're just saying, I am beautiful, I am kind, I am whatever it may be, but eventually when you start saying them over and over and over again, it's like you're training your brain to talk positively to yourself. So affirmations for the throat chakra have been a huge help for myself.
And how would you actually do that practice? Would you kind of do it in the morning? Would you look in the mirror and do it? Do you have kind of a typical routine with affirmations?
Mirror work is good. Normally I walk the beach. Like, I love walking the beach barefoot, and I just say affirmations. I have a little mantra for myself when I'm walking on the beach, and then things just start flowing. I just find I collect rubbish while I'm walking, so it's kind of like distracting my monkey brain as a way, kind of thing. And then things just start being, you know, start coming through. I just kind of get into a flow of it. But you mentioned like looking into the mirror. That's really powerful. Mirror work, where you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're looking yourself in the eyes, and it's like you're really affirming to yourself. And again, you're not going to believe it the first, maybe it's 100 times that you're saying it, but eventually you'll start feeling it, you know, and it'll start kind of resonating with you. Yeah, so the mirror work is really powerful. Even just writing it down, like physically writing things down. I journal an awful lot, get things out, and when I am kind of feeling a bit down or whatever, I start like writing out my positive qualities and stuff, you know, and what I like about myself, and focusing on what I like about myself rather than what I don't like about myself. I found that quite beneficial. And even if you don't want to do affirmations, just like chanting mantras, I found that really helped. You can get different mantras. I get mine on Spotify. You can just type in mantras and different things will come up. And it's just saying something over and over again. And when you're kind of using your voice and speaking out loud, it's causing a vibration within your throat, like a sound vibration. And that is healing the throat chakra as well, which helps you to, especially if you've got kind of like fear of speaking out and stuff like that, it kind of helps you get you used to using your voice and hearing your voice.
I'm just fascinated by all of this.
It's so complex as well. Like, I hope I'm not kind of like confusing people with it, because like I've been learning about chakras since like 2012, and I still feel like I'm only just dipping my toe into it, you know.
But like, I honestly, so that came up in, I was doing therapy there a few years ago, and that came up about not being able to use my voice, and I would be afraid of what people would say in reaction to what I wanted to say, even if it was, you know, whether it was positive or negative. I just, my inner child was afraid of the reaction from the other person. And so I used to suppress, and I still do. It's a learning process, but, you know, suppressing my voice. And I'd actually now, like now that I'm tuned into it, I physically feel my throat nearly closing up, a tightness in that area when I'm not saying what I want to say. It's just mind blowing when you actually see the connection and like how that could possibly translate in down the road to problems in that area physically. Yeah it's mad.
it is. We're complex beings, and like the journaling is very good, like, to kind of get stuff out as well. Mm. And if I was you there now, I'd kind of go back into, where did this first start happening? When did I first start noticing it? And I kind of have related a lot of my stuff back to childhood. You can see things that have kind of come in through childhood, and healing that childhood trauma, kind of from the root kind of thing, you know, has definitely helped kind of heal it within the present, because we're all born to traumatize people. Like, nobody knew about, like, you know, our parents and our grandparents and stuff, mm-hmm. didn't know anything about this kind of healing stuff. So they've all been traumatized by the generations that have gone before them. And so we're traumatized by traumatized people. Like, it's not kind of putting any blame on anyone, but I think our generation is starting to recognize that trauma and being able to heal that trauma, you know. Yeah. And a lot of it can come from childhood. So it's I'm always like, oh, that's so juicy. Like, I love getting into
I think it's actually important to know, because some people, you know, when you talk about the inner child and things you went through as a child, you're afraid of maybe hurting your parents or something. Yeah. But it's not like they were just doing their best no matter what they did. They were just doing their best with what they knew. And as you said, like, it's generational. It's in our DNA. Trauma is passed down through the generations. It's an area, yeah, I'm studying epigenetics at the moment. And it's just, again, fascinating. But it is, I think people might be afraid sometimes to talk out about their, yeah, inner child and things they went through. But it's absolutely not about putting blame on other people.
No,
it's
not
just
at all. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just about us. I think we have more knowledge and we have more access to information whereby we are, as you said, we're kind of breaking those cycles a little bit now.
Yeah, definitely. And like, it's something that I don't put blame on my parents or anyone that kind of did kind of put any trauma on me as a child. And I found it really powerful. There was one woman in my life that, like, really, really, really traumatized me as a child. And I did this course with a man called John Keane in Dublin, and it was like, who am I? And it was kind of like helping me to understand my own story and stuff. And by understanding my own story, I had to go into the story of the people that had, you know, caused the trauma kind of thing. And that really helped me go from being a victim. Like, you step back from your story, because you step back to kind of look at the picture as a whole, I suppose. Again, it's a way of holistic healing. And looking at her story and what she went through as a child, and recognizing that what she went through was exactly what she put me through. And it was a way of protecting herself. Like, I completely understand it. Like, there's no blame there on her whatsoever, because she knew no different. She was only protecting her self and from the pain and the trauma that she'd been put through her, yeah, through her own situation, you know. And that really took me from being a victim of being like, oh, she did this to me, oh, poor me, you know, I've got all these things that have been done to me. By recognizing her story, it kind of took me from that victim mode, and it made me feel so much empathy and compassion for her, because I knew that the things that I'd been through, she'd also been through, you know. And mm-hmm. It really helped me to forgive her. And there's something quite powerful in that forgiveness, because you're releasing the power that the trauma has over you. You know, you're no longer that victim.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's very powerful. But again, this is something our generation are just kind of like learning about and understanding. It's interesting. It's interesting to see where we'll be in, you know, when we're old and grey, generations below us will move on from this kind of thing, you know.
Hopefully we'll be progressing in the right direction anyway.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Now, I think we have two chakras left, do we?
Two more chakras, yeah. So we've got our third eye, which is located kind of in between the eyebrows there. And this is a lot of like creativity, imagination, I would say. It's the kind of the right and the brain hemispheres, we can get very tunnel visioned in life and we can't see ways out of things, you know, and opening up this third eye can just kind of give you a bigger perspective on things. Just for example, with that story about that lady and that trauma, like I was very tunnel visioned in being like, this is my story, this is what happened to me. But being able to open myself up to see her story and stuff, you're seeing a bigger picture of it and a bigger perspective. And that's kind of what the third eye can help us with. And it's our dreams, our intuition. Intuition is really strong and we can very often ignore our own intuition. Mm-hmm. You know, when you just have that knowing of being like, I need to do this or I need to go there, or, you know, you just can't explain why, you know, but you know, that's kind of what the third eye would be linked with there. And then our last chakra is our crown chakra. And that is like our connection with, I don't like putting a word on it, but, you know, because I don't want to come at it from a religious point of view, because people kind of can have problems, you know, if you say God or the heavens or the divine, or it can just be your higher self, like spirit, you know. It's that connection with spirit. And we can again become quite shut off from this, and we can feel like we're very insignificant on this planet. We can feel that, you know, we're just here to eat, sleep, work, repeat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And not recognizing that we are spirit. You know, we come, I believe anyway, that we're so complex and we come from a higher place. We're a spiritual being having a human experience is what I believe.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, the crown chakra is just kind of connecting with that spirit. And so the root chakra, the first chakra is our physical body, and then our crown chakra is our spirit body. And it's all the chakras in between are just combining the two. And it's quite a complex subject, but I hope it's explained well there now.
Yeah, no, you made it sound easy, we'll say, to understand. And even I now learnt a lot from you there now going through them all. And I hope people can kind of recognize, you know, if they do have, maybe they're feeling a bit of tension in any of those areas, that there's something you can do. You can feed into those chakras and look after that area and that energy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like for example, like anger, we can get very angry with stuff, and this is held in the solar plexus. And when we do the chakra dancing, sometimes if we're outside we'll have a fire, if we're inside I'll have like a few candles or whatever. And just being able to shout and scream and punch and kick and get all that anger out, all that kind of pent up energy, you know, because holding it in will eventually kind of cause problems in our lives, whether it's physically, mentally or emotionally.
Absolutely, yeah.
A good kind of imagery for the chakras and how they work is, I saw this on a cartoon, like if you imagine like your energy being like a river, and like it pools of energy at the each different chakra. So if you imagine this river kind of flowing down and it pooling in different areas, and then over time throughout life, like bits of debris gets stuck in the river kind of thing, you know, twigs, leaves, whatever it may be, like in the river, which is like, you know, emotional trauma, physical trauma, mental trauma, whatever, is kind of like can be thrown into this river, and it can cause like blockages then in these pools, which restricts the flow. So if you've got, like we were talking about grief there and stuff, if you've got kind of a lot of stuff blocking up your heart chakra, then it restricts the flow. Like the energy should be, you want your energy to be flowing throughout the chakras freely and easily, moving from kind of one pool to the next, one chakra to the next. And if we have this kind of debris blocking stuff up, then it restricts the flow of energy. So then the chakra below it, so the chakra below the heart chakra, isn't getting the energy that it needs for that kind of pool, you know. It's kind of stops the flow. But I just found that a really good imagery from that the cartoon that I was watching.
That's such a good way of explaining it.
Yeah, it's just like that, and kind of blockages in the river that kind of, you know, it'll go from being like a full force flow, but then eventually it'll just kind of be like a little trickle of energy. So then they're not getting that life force. The other chakras in the body aren't getting that life force that we need, kind of thing, you know, that life force energy.
Now, you mentioned about the chakra dancing, which I've done before, and it was absolutely class. But you just go away feeling amazing. But is there something like people can do at home, an easy thing that you can do to kind of look after your chakras? Or is it, you know, what, how would you actually get rid of those blockages or the debris out of the pools?
Well, it would all depend on, you know, like for yourself now, you were saying about your throat chakra, kind of feeling restricted within your throat. Like for the throat chakra, I would recommend like things like journaling, because it's a way of talking to yourself, really, you know. Journaling has been a huge thing to help me with my throat chakra. Singing, just singing out loud, and mantras, saying affirmations, like they were things that I'd recommend for the throat chakra. For the root chakra, I'd recommend grounding, connecting to the earth. I can be very scatty, so my energy can be kind of like all over the place sometimes. I'm kind of more in my upper chakras than I am in my lower chakras. So I really need to kind of like ground my energy, and connecting with the earth and being in nature is extremely important for that root chakra. The heart chakra, doing something that sparks joy, you know, think back to things that your little child used to do. Like I got a pair of roller skates a couple of years ago for Christmas, because I used to love rollerblading as a kid. And I go up to the path by the lake there, out by the hospital in Clan, and it's a great path for roller skating. And you know, just going out there, it just brings so much joy to my heart. And like things like that can kind of help. Your sacral chakra, anything with water, sea swimming is amazing for your sacral chakra. Putting on something that makes you feel sexy, like you know, even if it's just like that, you put on a nice bit of underwear underneath the clothes that you're wearing. Nobody sees that, but you can feel the power that, you know, when you put on a nice kind of bra and knickers or whatever, like you do feel amazing. You're like, yeah, but nobody else knows that kind of thing, you know. Yeah, there's different things. Physical exercise is great for the solar plexus, you know, kind of getting your heart pumping and your heart rate going, and kind of it gives you that sense of achievement and stuff. So physical exercise is good for that. Art is really good for sacral, heart, and the third eye. Meditation is great for the third eye and the crown chakra. So there's different things, that different activities for each different chakra that I would kind of recommend for people. So when people are either coming to a dance class, or they're coming in for an energy treatment or something, like when I'm doing energy treatments, I can, it'll sound mad, but I can feel in my body where I need to go on the other person. So for example, like my ankle might all of a sudden start hurting the leg once I've connected with the energy, and I've connected with the other person's energy, my ankle might start hurting, and I'll go down and I'll start working on their root chakra and stuff. But then afterwards, I'm able to recommend things that will help, you know, kind of they can use to help themselves to heal that root chakra.
That's such an incredible power to have, and I experienced that firsthand with you a few weeks ago, and it's just amazing that you were literally feeling what I'm feeling. it was mad.
Something like that I've recognized I had from a very young age, like I've always been able to feel other people's pain, but and I've always tried to take that pain away from them. Like my dad would have been, from a very young age, my dad was, he was very sad and emotional, is the only way that I could put it, very vulnerable. And I could feel it in the, I still, talking about it now, I can feel his pain, and all I wanted to do was like take that away from, I suppose it's empathy, I suppose, but combining it with doing the energy treatments, it's kind of become more of How would you say it? It's become stronger, I suppose, you know, and more direct, that it's like, it's not just emotional pain that I can feel anymore. It's kind of physical, mental or emotional, you know.
That is a magic power that you have.
I think as humans, we probably all have it. But again, it's something that we're not taught about. Yeah. And it's something that if you're not aware of it, then you're not going to recognize it within yourself. But I do feel like as human beings, we're extremely powerful. And we've just kind of, we're not aware of how powerful that we are. And again, through doing all this kind of work and stuff, it's becoming more to the forefront of our knowledge, do you know?
Yeah. Now, Jay, just before we finish up, you mentioned at the start about kind of creating your own toolbox for yourself. So I wanted to ask you, do you have any anchors in your life that you always come back to, you know, if you're needing a little bit of healing energy yourself, or you're feeling a bit maybe down and you want to get back to feeling a bit more light, we'll say, what are the things that you turn to help yourself?
Well, being in nature is massive for me. And I keep mentioning grounding. Like, grounding is so important for us as humans, because like I said, we're electromagnetic beings, and the earth is charged with negative ions. Like, if you think about it, even a plug will have an earth wire, you know, that is connecting the electricity to the earth. Otherwise, it's very static energy. Because we are electrical beings, it's really important for us to kind of plug into the earth and connect barefoot to the earth. We're wearing shoes these days. Like, our older and way, way back ancestors would have all walked barefoot on the earth. Maybe didn't have as much disease as we did. I think when we kind of started wearing runners, we've put this rubber sole between us and the earth, so we're insulated from that earth energy, which is extremely beneficial. Like, there's been huge scientific studies on how connecting with the earth can really help us, especially physically, physical problems with pain and inflammation and stuff. So I find that if I am a bit scatty and I am feeling like my energy is like just connecting to the earth can really make me feel kind of like centered, calm, grounded. It kind of brings me back into myself, and I'm like, it's not that bad. Do you know? Dancing is a huge thing for me. Music is massive. If I feel, you know, angry, for example, I can put on like a real raging song, you know, and that might be different for me than it is for you, but like something that you can feel, that you can like scream and kind of get that out of you, you know, you can shake it physically, like shake it out of your body. So music and dance is a huge thing for me, which is, I'm so delighted that I found the chakra dancing, because it really has helped me. And then journaling has just, it helps me to kind of get to the core of what's going on, you know, kind of gets all my thoughts out of my head, anything that's kind of whirling around. Because I'm like, with having anxiety, I can overthink things. So getting it down on paper can really kind of helps see things clearly. Again, it's kind of like putting it on paper, stepping back and seeing the bigger perspective, do you know?
Amazing, Jade.
So they would be my three main tools. But then, you know, meditation, chanting, it'd be a range of different things depending on what's kind of going on. But connecting with the earth, dancing and music, and journaling would be my three go-tos that I couldn't live without.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Jade, if anyone is interested in working with you or finding out a bit more information, where will I send them to?
Well, I've my Instagram page and my Facebook page, which is Creating Peace with Jade Catrice. You'll get my numbers, my contact details from there. And you can give me a call and we can have a chat or whatever and see what's going on, you know. Because everyone's kind of individual, so I like to kind of like tailor things for people. That's where you'll find me mainly, is kind of social media, and then my contact details are all on there then.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your amazing story.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Anchor Wellness podcast. I hope you got something out of listening to the chat today. Until next time, keep striving to be healthy.